Order has been restored. You look at the defending World Series champions against a team expected to lose maybe 120 games this year, and you wonder, how was that first team 2-3 against that second team? The Red Sox against the Orioles is a five-star meal from a world-renowned chef against a chicken sandwich under a 7-Eleven heat lamp. But Monday, the Orioles had won 4-1, holding the Sox to just three hits. Tuesday, well, the Sox hit three home runs. One was a three-run death blow by the artist formerly known as Mitchie Two Bags. Mitchie Four Bags now has 10 home runs, and the Red Sox are now within a game of 500 again. We'll talk about it now. This is Sox Daily.
It's your daily Sox podcast. It's your daily Sox podcast. It's where you're going to find out what the Sox are doing. It's your daily Sox podcast.
Now, the big bat showed up, and the Red Sox got themselves a win. Josh Lewin with you. The Sox now back to 18-19. And as we come to you from Oriole Park at Camden Yards, just as everybody's filing out, all 10,000 that showed up on a Tuesday night, and you can still hear the blat, blat, blat of the tamping going on. The grounds crew is out there making sure the dirt is nice and compact for the game on Wednesday. That'll be Chris Sale looking to go to 2-5. And, you know, if he gets there, that means that it'll be Sale, Price, Porcello, and Eovaldi combined with five wins to match Marcus Walden. Yeah, right now Walden has more wins than four-fifths of the projected Red Sox vaunted starting rotation. That's baseball, Susan. Matt Barnes ended up with a save, not Brazier. We'll talk more about that in a moment. But yeah, Marcus Walden, on and relief of Hector Velazquez, goes to 5-0. Velazquez got the start, but once again, he only goes 40-odd pitches. This time it was 46, and he's averaged right around there in his five starts this year. Most he's ever gotten to is 57. You guys mind if I like yell out the press box window and tell these guys to stop with the tamping? Oh, they just did anyway. Good. That was getting really annoying. It's like headache-inducing, as is this podcast, I'm sure. But the scoring started behind Velazquez in the top of the first. J.D. Martinez, career home run number 200, as boldly predicted by our Rob Bradford on WEEI, went on the pregame show, said, I got a good feeling J.D. Martinez is going to homer. Very first pitch he saw, he drilled one out, barely over the wall, a tracer in left center. His fifth of the year, his first off a right-hander this year, but yeah, career home run number 200. Mookie had walked right before that, a two-run shot to make it 2-0. Mookie ended up with three walks in this game, by the way, and Martinez with two himself. Remember, the night before, the Orioles' top five in the lineup had gone a combined 0-for-19. J.D. Martinez made sure that wouldn't happen in the very first inning. But in the bottom of the first, the Orioles came right back. Rio Ruiz hit a two-run, two-out home run. That off of Velazquez, only the second home run he's allowed all year, first since opening day. And that one was to a left-handed third baseman. That was Ryan Healy of the Mariners. This time, Rio Ruiz, his third. So 2-2 to the fourth inning. Xander Bogaerts then recaptures the lead, a home run number 7 for Xander. And a 3-2 lead given right up again in the bottom of the fourth by Walden as Hanser Alberto hit a long home run, his second of the year. But Walden was very good after that, a 1-2-3 fifth, a 1-2-3 sixth. And the Red Sox got the lead back anyway in that fifth inning. It was Mitch Moreland, a three-run home run to left center field, doing a lot of hitting the other way now. That's three three-run home runs he's got this year. 10 home runs against only 8 singles. And that'll play. Mitch Moreland actually hitting cleanup in this game. That's some of that Alex Cora pixie dust. There were some people that didn't really understand why a guy hitting 216 was plugged in at cleanup, but it certainly worked, and Mitch talked to us after the game about his big night.
Well, back here at Baltimore, Mitch Moreland with a big three-run homer in the fifth inning gave the Red Sox the lead to stay, and Mitch is with us right now. Mitch, your 10th home run, and that was very, very timely, and a clutch hit there in the fifth inning. What were you looking for there?
Yeah, you know, guy just came in the game and gave me opportunity with Mookie getting it going with the hit and then walking JD right there. So knew he was kind of a fastball heavy type guy. You know, had a little velo on it, so just trying to get ready and not do too much and put a good swing on it, able to do that.
This Orioles team has been pesky, huh, Mitch? I mean, every time you guys scored tonight, it seemed like they would come right back and score. They had the lead in the season series against you coming in. They battle you.
Yeah, they do. You know, there's they hadn't quit against us, that's for sure. You know, they've played really well against us at home and obviously these first two. So it was good to scratch a couple more there at the end and give us a little insurance to get the win.
Yeah, tonight taking advantage of walks again as the club did in Chicago, and that's what it takes a lot of times.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've said it all year. Like I felt like at first when we were kind of struggling, we just weren't creating a whole lot of opportunities for ourselves. You know, we kind of some quick innings. When we were putting guys on, you know, constantly putting pressure on the defense and the other team and the pitcher to make pitches against us, then that's when we're at our best because, you know, we're so deep and we're able to break through at any given time when we keep putting guys out there.
And, you know, at the end of the game, Mitch, that ball that was hit by Nunez, I don't know what you were thinking when it left the bat, but all of a sudden you're scrambling back to first base. Chavis with a one-hop throw to you. You turn the double play. That's kind of a neat way to end the ball game.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, obviously he hit the ball pretty hard. Looked like he was sitting on breaking ball right there. And, you know, Bogey made a nice play on it. And I was kind of just standing there, and then I saw him catch it. I was like, oh, man, I got to cover. So, it was a good one right there, good way to end it.
Well, Mitch, there's nothing like a three-run homer, and you've hit three of them, three of your 10 this year, so the RBI total reflects that. And you've been using the whole park, too, with the last two opposite field, and three of your 10 have been the opposite field.
Yeah, that's something I think I definitely wanted to try to get back to. I feel like that's kind of been my bread and butter over the years. And, you know, last year I looked at my spray chart at the end of the year, and I don't think I hit one, you know, pass like straight away center field. So just trying to get back to using the field, you know, to keep me a little more, I guess, balanced.
And Mitch, just before we let you go, it seems like we ask you this all the time because, you know, the Red Sox will have a nice win. And now you've got Chris Sale, for example, starting tomorrow. Everybody's feeling good about Chris now. Seems like maybe 5, 6, 7 times this year we say, okay, doesn't it feel like you guys are ready to go on a real big run? So I'll ask you again, do you get that feeling right now?
I don't think anybody's looking at it that way. It's more the we're at our best when we're approaching it one game, you know, one inning, one pitch at a time. So, you know, that's the way we're going to go about it. We're going to continue to approach it one game at a time. You know, it was good to get the win tonight, but, you know, now we've got to forget about that one and get ready and be ready to go tomorrow and get that one.
Mitch, thank you so much. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Well, we appreciate Mitch Moreland stopping by afterwards, and that was, at the time of that home run, a 6-3 Red Sox lead. Baltimore would get two back, though, off of Ryan Brazier, and it was a little bit odd that it was Brazier in the eighth and assumably Barnes in the ninth. That's been kind of twisted around so far this year, depending on who's up. Whenever it's the top third of the order or 3-4-5 or something like that, if it's going to set up that way, you go to Brazier, and that's exactly what Alex Cora did. Brazier just wasn't very good. He did get a very quick out, got Jonathan Villar to pop out, but then Trey Mancini lined a single, Dwight Smith Jr. an RBI double, a ball that skipped off the bag at first. Rio Ruiz bounced out, but then Chris Davis, an opposite field shot, that brought in a run after the Dwight Smith double had brought in a run. So 6-5, they summon Barnes, who's had the huge strikeout numbers this year, and he freezes Stevie Wilkerson, a beautiful job with a curveball. And for the year at that point, it was more than half the time, essentially, that Barnes had struck out somebody. Number of plate appearances versus number of strikeouts, a little bit tilted towards the strikeout side. So only Josh Hader is doing that with Milwaukee, and that's pretty impressive. In the top of the ninth inning, the Red Sox could have really pulled away, and they kind of pulled away. It was a walk by Jackie Bradley Jr., who was 0-for-2 in this game. He's now hitting .147. Then Vasquez lined the only hit of the inning to right. Another two-hit night for Christian Vasquez. We got to talk about that for a second, because just a year ago, of all the qualifying hitters in baseball, the second worst production was Christian Vasquez. And that's changed, obviously, here early this year. You're talking about a guy now who's got an OPS of .822. His batting average is .278. But .822, that's a higher OPS than Andrew Benintendi. It is basically the exact same as Mitch Moreland. It is higher than that of Xander Bogaerts. It's better than Rafael Devers. That's your number nine hitter, your catcher, Christian Vasquez. And he's calling a good game, too, it sure seems like. So Vasquez, he's healthy. He's happy. He's productive. He's the only Red Sox player to have a two-hit game both Monday night and Tuesday night. So you got to give him the due credit here. In the bottom of the ninth inning, no big deal for Barnes. He did walk one, but then a beautifully turned double play to end the ball game. Xander Bogaerts acrobatically, a 6-4-3, a one bouncer over to Mitch Moreland, and the Red Sox had their win. Eight runs, only seven hits, no errors. There were eight Oriole walks. This was one night after there were no Oriole walks. And for Baltimore, 5-8-0. Baltimore is now 13-23. Thank you. Thank you, sir, very much. Thank you. And anyway, the Red Sox are now 18-19. Alex Cora meeting with the media after the game. Here he was.
Hector, just that pitch to Ruiz, kind of like licking to the middle of the plate, put a good swing on it. But then after that, he gave us six. Waldy, I know he gave it the home run, but did a good job giving us nine. Work was good. Brazier, fastball. Not up in the zone, and he got two jam shots there, and then a ground ball. It looks worse than it really was, but still, we didn't get too many outs. And Barnes, he did a good job, man. He got the strikeout, and then the last three outs.
What went into the decision to go with Brazier?
Matchups, kind of like we felt that slider was better in that situation, but then at the end. I mean, we all talk about high-lever situations, and Barnes came in the probably highest lever situation of the game. But we felt that that was a good spot for him with those lefties, the way we pitched to him, but it didn't work out.
Any concern there with Barnes slipping?
No, I mean, yeah, but no. I mean, he's a good athlete. That's what he says.
How good was it to get the homer from JD?
It's been
a while since.
No, right away. I think that's the first one against a righty, if I'm not mistaken. He thought I was congratulating him because of 200, but it was actually because it's the first one against a righty this season. But good to see. Good to see I got lucky with the lineup. Just like I told you guys, I ran into that lineup and put it on, and it happened. So we'll roll it again, tomorrow. So. We put good at bats. We were patient. We did a few good things offensively. Others, we expanded the zone, but we had a lot of traffic the whole night.
Obviously, Jay's had a good year, 320 or whatever he is. Can you think of any reason he's been quieter than usual from the home run standpoint?
No, I mean, if you ask him, there's like four balls in Fenway that probably. If the weather is good, they're home runs. So he learned last year early, you can't get desperate because the ball will fly home. Today was a little warmer, and you saw what happened. So it just a matter of time.
Can you talk about how important Workman's been?
It's been amazing against lefties and righties. Just a guy that we can bring in to get the last out of one inning, and then he can go out there and pitch. And he posts every day. I mean, his fastball, he's been playing, but the breaking ball has been amazing. The cutter good, and he's a different pitcher. It seems like he's keeping his stuff throughout the week, regardless of the usage. So he's done an outstanding job for us.
When you see a game where both the high walk totals and you're seeing guys driving the ball, homers to center field, homers to the opposite field, how good a spot are you guys in?
Well, coming to here, we were in a great spot, and then yesterday we don't score. So, but we feel that offensively we're doing a good job. We're controlling strike zone. We're putting good at bats, lengthy at bats, grinding out. Even the outs are tough outs. So, we do feel that we're in a good place. I think now the next thing for us as a team is kind of like do better against left-handed pitching. We went through that last year. It seems like we are. Into that right now, so we'll make adjustments and get going against lefties.
What about this lineup and the change you made? Do you like specifically?
Dude, I'm telling you, I ran into this lineup just looking for something else. I'm not taking credit for this. I was actually just comparing numbers around this time, looking for somebody and comparing, and I saw it. I was like, oh, what is this? Because I always thought that, for some reason, I always thought JD and Xander hit back-to-back. But then Carlos was with me, and he's like, no, when Hanley was here, he was in third, And those two hit together. When Mitch played once a week or twice a week, he hit four. And then I kept looking and looking and looking. And I think I made the switch in early September, if I'm not mistaken, that I went with Mitch hitting third and JD hitting fourth and Xander hitting fifth. And I think from April to September, we did a good job offensively. So why not? I roll with it. But that's not like analytics or whatever. That's just run into the lineup and went with it.
All right, that's the skipper. And now, indeed, at least you can say the Red Sox are 3-3 against the Orioles. They were 16-3 against them last year. So a little 13-game win streak the rest of the way, and they'd be able to match that. The ERA for the Orioles is now 5.62. The two worst ERAs in baseball is what the Red Sox got allowed to hit against on this road trip. And it'll get a little bit tougher, maybe not that much tougher coming up. You've got Seattle and Colorado coming in on the next homestand. But after that, the Houston Astros, who have the second-best ERA behind the Tampa Bay Rays. The Red Sox now have won 14 out of 16 at Opaque Oriole Park at Camden Yards. And I did not, by the way, get a chance to go out and try any Boog's Barbecue. That has been on the bucket list. I usually try to do that when in Baltimore. And if you don't know the name Boog Powell, let's just take a moment towards the end of the podcast here. When the Orioles and Baltimore Colts shared Old Memorial Stadium on 33rd Street, that was the guy, this big, red-headed, round-ish goofball. They found a very inventive way to beat the parking problem that always popped up on football weekends over there. He'd just sleep over Friday and Saturday nights in some random fan's RV. He'd just go RV hopping all weekend. That was Boog Powell back then. And even now, I mean, who's going to tell him no? You know, this big, lively guy. And they say that Orioles manager Hank Bauer, he was the guy before Earl Weaver, he would hit Boog third in the lineup behind Louis Aparicio hitting second. And Bauer's reasoning was Boog's big body would block the catcher's view of Aparicio as he led from first. And whether or not that helped, who knows. But the first year Bauer did that, Aparicio stole 57 bases. And Boog usually is out there tending to his own barbecue. That might be a stop on Wednesday. Get you ready for Chris Sale against Andrew Cashner. Now, Sale, I know the ERA is still ugly at 5.25, but it's 11 straight scoreless innings. He's at 28 strikeouts in his last 18 innings, and that'll certainly play, too. Andrew Cashner, 4-1 for a team that is 13-23, but his ERA is 4.71. It'll be a 7:05 first pitch, and you can hear it, of course, on WEEI. J.D. Martinez, a home run, correctly predicted by Rob Bradford. Nicely done. Xander Bogaerts with a home run. Mitch Moreland with a home run, and that pretty much sums it up. The Red Sox, with those homers, power their way past Baltimore on Tuesday night. Once again, thanks so much for tuning into the podcast. Love it that you're doing this. Please subscribe if you haven't yet, because then every Monday through Friday, you get this piece of awesome. And if you haven't done it yet, go on to iTunes and hit us with a review. Go ahead and tell America, tell the whole world what you think of Sox Daily. And maybe we can get some more people on the train here. That would be a beautiful thing if you don't mind helping out. Thanks again. Talk to you soon. Josh Lewin from Baltimore, getting ready for some barbecue. Bye-bye.